Again this morning, I will invite your attention to the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and in a moment we'll begin reading with verse number 10. This is the second in a brief series of four messages entitled Spiritual Warfare, and today we're asking the question, why do we struggle? Why, as God's children, do we struggle in the battle? I said last week that the Christian life is indeed a battle. It's a war. That's why it's being called spiritual warfare. But the problem is, a great many people who profess to be Christians are unaware that the war even exists. And those who are aware of the war are normally untrained and unprepared as they face individual battles. So last week I shared five principles with you, and I'm trusting and praying as we look this week at how we can be trained and prepared for the battle that you'll remember why we need to be trained and why we need to be prepared. I said last week, first of all, that there is an invisible world that we think little about that surrounds us 24/7. All about us, there are angels that protect and demons that would hurt and hinder and harm us if allowed. All about us, there exists a culture where Satan himself is the prince and the power of darkness. It began decades ago in our entertainment. We watched movies, and more they came to show us what it looked like when the devil had more commercial appeal than God did. We listened to music that more and more advertised demonic activity instead of the blood and culture of Christ. We read books that suggest that a higher power exists, but it's not a sovereign and almighty God. It's a power from within. It's a power from without. And we have discovered ourselves in a bigger mess than we ever thought possible. We live in an invisible world as well as a visible one. There is an invisible war that goes on. Throughout the Bible, we record times when it appeared God's children were sinking fast, only to discover that round about in the mountains were chariots of fire, guided and guarded by angels who came to the rescue of God's people. Last week we talked about the fact that you and I have a personal enemy. His name is Satan. He is crafty. He is a deceiver. He's a destroyer. And he comes against us as much as possible. We also learned that he needs to be respected in a sense, but not feared, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And finally, and maybe most importantly, we discovered that when we fight this battle, we do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. For the victory was accomplished the day the stone rolled away and Jesus Christ came forth from the grave. And now this week, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And that concludes the text, but I want to read the next verse or so and appeal to you this morning to do this for me. Paul said, "And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." I want to challenge you. I want to ask of you in these moments before I preach this message that you pray with me and for me that my mouth will be filled with the good news of the gospel to the exaltation of Christ and to the defeat of Satan. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for the people that have gathered. Thank you most of all for the book that I have read from and the message that you have given me. May I stand firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I declare the truth that sets us free. And may your people respond by walking in obedience before you. I pray that Satan would be bound, that he would have no sway, no authority, that he would not and could not influence or impact any person under the sound of the gospel, and that you would deliver and set free all who struggle in this battle today. In Jesus' name, amen. In the passage that I have just read in your hearing, there is a general command: be strong in the Lord. He didn't stop with be strong, for he knew, I think, that we would conclude that strength would be in flexing our muscle. This is not a physical strength that he speaks of. This is a spiritual strength. Our strength is not in ourselves, so he said, be strong in the Lord. And so the source of my strength and yours this morning is not working out, it's looking up. The second thing that he said is put on the full armor of God. I think he used the term full, so we would all conclude that a partial armor was not enough. Every part of us, in every way possible, must be covered with the armor of God, for Satan has fiery darts that seek openings to come in and hurt and hinder the child of God. And then he gave us the reason for these two commands, because our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's evil in heavenly places. It's Satan, the power of darkness. I'm not your enemy, and you are certainly not my enemy. We have a war that has been waged against us by Satan himself. And all that we have done is declare Jesus to be Lord of our lives. And that in and of itself brings about the conflict. In the next few moments, I'm going to give you four thoughts about Satan, tell you how he targets you in each of these areas, why he targets you, and how you can come against him. First of all, Satan is a deceiver. I know you know that. You've been lied to before. What a great song you just sang, Mike. What powerful truth there was in that. Satan is a liar. Could I just get an amen? Amen? Satan is a liar. And how he targets you as a deceiver is he lies to your mind. Anything that he can place in your mind that is not the mind of Jesus Christ, he will do so. When Satan comes to you and attempts to lie to you, he's wanting you to forget maybe because you never knew what the Word of God has to say. Satan can tell you you're not loved. With sin like that in your life, he's left you, forsaken you, walked away from you. You've lost your relationship with him, and he wants nothing more to do with you. Any series of lies that Satan can tell you, he will. And he has a purpose for that. Because if he lies to you long enough, you will begin to doubt the Word of God. That's how it all got started. In the Garden of Eden, Satan lied to Eve. He told her, if God would allow you to eat of that tree, you'd be just as wise as he is. So he's holding back from you something that is good to keep you from having all that you need. That was the original lie Satan told humanity. And from that lie, there has been birthed thousands upon millions of lies, so that every last one of us have been lied to, and maybe just today. Maybe just today he convinced you of something that is not a part of the Word of God. So let me challenge you this morning. If his target is your mind, if in attacking you he lies, if his purpose is to keep you ignorant of the Word of God, what is there that you can do? Why, from grade school, we learned the Bible and said, that's the book for me. But I wonder if we ever really understood what that simple little chorus meant. I wonder if we ever really grasped the content of the Word of God. The Bible is the book I need. It's the book for me. I'm sure some people think this is just propaganda. If they read that to us, then they can keep us in line. And others think it's just a set of rules and regulations. And others think, well, it's passé. It's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years old in its writing. I want to tell you, this is the most relevant book on anybody's shelf. I want to tell you, this book is inspired. It's authoritative. It has no conflict. There is no debate. There is no argument. This is the inspired Word of God as the Spirit spoke and men wrote. And I want to tell you this morning, if you don't study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that rightly divides the word of truth, you're going to find the lies of Satan, and you're going to accept them and swallow them, and they're going to become a hurt and a hindrance to your Christian experience. Satan's a liar. Number two, I want you to see from this text that Satan is a destroyer. Here, his target is not your mind. His target is your body. Satan wants to destroy you. The weapon that he uses is suffering. Sometimes it's emotional suffering. Sometimes it's mental suffering. Sometimes it's physical suffering. Now, please understand, not all suffering comes from Satan. Unfortunately, this old body just gets old. And the fact that it creaks and snaps and crackles and pops is sometimes just because of how long we've lived in these bodies. But I also want you to know that Satan comes against us at times. And what we could overcome by the power of God, he convinces us that we cannot overcome in the energy of the flesh. And we throw in the towel and we give up instead of look up, and we discover that we are under demonic attack. So what do you do when he attacks your mind? Well, you study the Word of God. Why would he attack your mind? To keep you from studying the Word of God. What do you do when he attacks your body? You rely upon the imparted strength of God in you. Why would he attack your body? To make you impatient with God's will. To get you to the place where you say, I prayed and it didn't happen. I asked and he didn't respond. I expected it and it didn't come to pass. God's never late. He's never early. He's a right on time God. We have to trust him to be so. So I want to challenge you today, when Satan attacks your mind, quote scripture to him. When Satan attacks your body, declare greater is in you than he that is in the world. When you are under attack, put on the helmet of salvation that your thought process will be that of a God child. Put on your belt of truth so that you will walk not in the energy of the flesh, but in the truth of the Word of God. The Bible also says that Satan is a ruler. He's the prince of this world. Listen, he targets your will, your want to. And here's how he targets your want to. Well, you know, there's old what's his name, and there's her, and all, and they're not doing so. But I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. And all of a sudden, we get very proud of who we are, and very proud of what we've accomplished, and very proud of what's going on in our lives. And the reason Satan wants to fill you with pride is because in the moment that you become proud of yourself, you forfeit humility. And when you forfeit humility and exalt yourself, you are enthroning self and pushing Jesus Christ off the throne of your life. The very thing that Satan did in eternity past was being full of pride. He ascended into the heavens and tried to overthrow the sovereign God of glory. And we look at that and we hate him for it. And yet, it seems to be the very thing that we do on scores of occasions. We push him off the throne of our heart, and we put self on our heart because, after all, I can make it. And Satan attacks us and our will so that he will make us independent of the will of God. And the only defense that you have is to recognize that when you have the righteousness of Christ about you, you will humble yourself, walk in obedience, follow him, and trust him for all the details of your life. And let me come to one other conclusion here. He's not only a deceiver and a destroyer, and he's a ruler. He's an accuser. And maybe you need to listen more now than at any point in this message, because Satan loves to accuse. He attacks your heart. Oh, I don't mean that little muscle that pumps blood. I mean your very being, your soul, your spirit, that which makes you, you. Satan attacks you. And he often reminds you of who you were and of what you've done and of how often you've failed and the fact that you've blown it. And he likes to isolate you as if you're the only one in a room of hundreds that may have made a mistake. You're the only one who doesn't deserve to be here. Look around. Everybody else is smiling, happy, got it going, whirled on a string. But look at me. I am in jeopardy. I am in trouble. And Satan loves to say, if God loved you, you wouldn't be there. If God loved you, that wouldn't have happened. If God loved you, you would have gotten that job. If God loved you, she wouldn't have walked out of the house. If God loved you, your prayers would be answered. And an attack like that against the heart will break us if we do not recognize that we have one in the heavens who intercedes for us every moment of every day in every way. When we are under satanic attack, it is Jesus who says, Father, he may have, past tense, done all Satan says, but past tense, I died for him on the cross of Calvary, and my blood has covered his imperfections, so that when you look at him, you will only see my righteousness. I get a word of praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He will come to our rescue when we are under attack. you may laugh, but some of my theology came from Saturday morning cartoons when I was a kid. Anybody remember Popeye and his gorgeous, beautiful girlfriend, Olive Oil? I never quite saw in her what he saw in her, to be honest with you. And then there was Bluto. He was the enemy, the arch rival. Every time Popeye and Olive Oil set out to have a fun day, here comes the enemy. And the 20 minutes of the show existed in everything the enemy could do to steal Olive Oil away from Popeye. And Popeye just took it, and he took it, and he took it, and he took it. But when you came back from the third advertisement for Rice Krispies, or Sugar Pops, or Tony the Tiger, and there were only 2 or 3 minutes left in the show, you remember what Popeye did? He turned and he said, "I stood all I can stand." And from somewhere, he ripped out a can of spinach and popped it open and held it up and guzzled it down. And Bluto was through messing with Olive Oil. He was trampled, he was beaten, he was defeated, he was run off. I wonder if there's anybody in here that's had all you can stand. I mean, all you can stand. I mean, you're ready now to say enough is enough. And you're ready to lift your spinach and swallow it down and look the devil straight in the face and say, "By the authority of a child of God covered in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost, you're finished at my house." Let's stand. There are going to be pastors in the altar, and Daryl's going to lead us in a song of encouragement. Somebody lost needs to trust in Jesus. Somebody who wants to become a part of our church needs to come. Somebody who's been saved but you've never followed him in baptism, we'd love for you to present yourself today. But all over this building, whether you have to come from up there or back here or the back row in the middle section, if you've had all you can stand. No, I'm serious. If you've had all you can stand, and you're ready for victory, I want you to come find a praying place. Bring a praying person with you. Find a pastor who will pray with you. And I want you to do just what Popeye did, and I'm not trying to be comical. I want you to devour the Word of God. This book claims you're somebody in Jesus Christ. This book claims that by the authority of the Word of God, you are a conqueror. There is victory in Jesus Christ the Lord. This book tells you that it starts without a devil and it ends without a devil. And the only problem is there's a devil in between. And this book tells you how, when he tries to destroy you, to stand against him. Not in the power of your flesh, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So pastors, come. Daryl, lead us. And quickly, wherever you are and whatever it is you need to do, come quickly and do that right now.
Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith,